Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to change up the service here again a little bit. I am going to pull out my timer here just to make sure that everything's good. I am going to try and stay here on in the bounds of time. Sometimes I struggle with that, but I'll try extra hard this morning. And also, just so you know, in case you have to time your potatoes, there's four worship songs after me, so everybody knows, okay? Good. So you may turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And Luke, so what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to look at the birth of Christ and read the story and do it kind of in a chronological order. And so I'm going to read through the Christmas story of Christ's coming. And so we'll be flipping back and forth between Luke and Matthew and starting at Luke 1:26, looking again at the specifically at the birth of Christ. And the question for you this morning is, of the six characters that we're going to find this morning, who do you relate to? Who do you connect to in the birth of Christ, in his story? And so we're looking for six characters, and we'll begin in Luke 1, verse 26, and we'll be reading through 38. Luke 1, 26 to 38. In 26, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel..." Okay, let me just say that we're not going to include the angels, so don't connect with that. Nobody here was an angel this year. So don't connect to the angel. So anyhow. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the one who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, who has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." And so we saw the characters this morning of Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth. And you may turn to Matthew chapter 1. The story continues there in chapter 1 of Matthew, verses 18, and we'll end at verse 24. In Matthew 1, 18 to 24. "And now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And you can flip to Luke 2. Luke 2, chapter 1. I'm sorry, Luke 2, verse 1. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into the heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. And so we find our fourth character, the shepherds. And now you may turn to Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, we see the wise men. In Matthew 2, verse 1, it says, Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Then they saw when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And so we find our fifth and sixth characters of the wise men and Herod. And so the question again is, who do you identify with? Who do you identify with? Mary was just a normal young woman. When all of a sudden, boom, an angel. And her whole life changed. Everything changed from then on, forever, for Mary. There was nothing normal about Mary after that first angel encounter. In fact, she could never go back to being normal. Everyone looked at her differently, maybe not for the best of reasons. She was completely forever changed. Elizabeth, she was changed too. It's just that she had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait her whole life to be changed. Her life was mostly lived before anything happened to Elizabeth. She endured years of folks looking at her maybe not the right way. But after her encounter, Elizabeth was changed. Joseph, do you connect with Joseph this morning? You see, Joseph had to be all in. Joseph had to choose it all or nothing. In fact, Joseph left everything and went to Egypt. And when he returned, if you remember, he didn't come back to where he was. He went to Galilee instead. And Joseph was totally sold out for the cause of Christ. There was nothing in this world that he gave more honor to. And when you travel, you don't keep much. Joseph gave up everything he had to protect the son that was given him. Maybe you connect with the shepherds. The shepherds were minding their own business. They didn't even really want to be bothered. And again, boom, the night sky lit up and the angels were heralding good news to everyone on earth. This news was for everyone, but they chose to tell the shepherds. The shepherds were the least of society. They were the bottom of the barrel as far as social rankings go. From what others have said, shepherds' testimonies actually didn't really hold up in court of the day. No one believed the shepherds ever. And yet here we find that the shepherds were the one to whom the angels first appeared. As I wrote this, I think Mary and Joseph would have probably really liked to see an angel when Jesus was born. It would have been a welcomed confirmation, you know. They had wonderful greetings and the angels were present when Mary conceived and all of that. And yet, as she was in labor and they were ushered outside into the stable and had a baby in a barn, God was very silent. A new thought of silent night came to me. God didn't say anything to Mary and Joseph. It was very silent and potentially confusing. And yet God told the shepherds through his angels. And the shepherds did tell everyone they met. From the humblest and least folks, the best news ever was beginning to spread. And it also made me wonder a little bit this morning if maybe this is a little bit of why pastors are sometimes called shepherds. The news is to be spread. Do you identify with shepherds this morning? Or do you identify with the wise men? The wise men recognized the sign of the new king. You know what that means? They were watching for it. They understood. They acted upon it. And the wise men knew the value of what they were looking at when they saw his star. As I did some research, there are those who believe that this star was visible from the east. As the planets lined up to see the birth star from the east, that's where you could see it. And so, why would men from the east, magi, be watching for a star? And if you read your Bible, it says that they came and said, "Where's the king of the Jews who was born?" They didn't ask, is there a king of the Jews born, or whose king it was? They knew from the stars it was the king of the Jews. Why would they be looking and watching for that? And as I read, there's many scholars believe that this would be a remnant of a school from Daniel. He would have been positioned in Babylon. There's no record of Daniel coming home to Israel. And if Daniel stayed and began a school of magi, these guys potentially would have studied underneath that school and would have been watching. It's an interesting thought. I don't know if I can prove it, but it's very interesting to think about. But there were men who were watching and waiting and recognized what the star meant, and they knew. And they knew that a priceless gift had been born, and they knew what to do. When you see something of great value, do you act? Do you gather what you can and move on it? Would you even travel to another country if need be? These wise men did. They knew what to do. And again, the question is, are you accumulating value for yourself? Or is God preparing you to provide for his kingdom? Are you ready? Are you watching? Would you be willing to move when you see the signs? Are you a wise man? Then we come to our last character, Herod. In the section of scripture that I read, Herod didn't sound that bad, right? He said, go tell me where the babe is so I can worship him too. But we know that's not the truth. Herod was a pretender. We all know that he did not want to worship the child, as he claimed in Matthew 2, verse 8. And I really hope not, but there might be some pretenders here this morning. You know, if you're a pretender, you're going to be found out. You will. God only allows true worshipers in his forever kingdom. I may not know, Andrew and Luke may not know, but God knows. Only those who have confessed with their mouth and those who have believed in their hearts that Jesus was not only born, but that he died for our sins and rose again on the third day, conquering death for us. Those who believe this will enter into eternal peace with Jesus Christ that we called heaven. But those who pretend cannot sneak through the door. No matter how rich or how poor you are, there is no sneaking into heaven. There is one way to enter the kingdom of heaven, and it is through Jesus Christ, who came with an incredible birth story that we just read this morning. And Herod reminds us that there are no pretenders. And as we looked at these six characters, I was reminded of other parables in Scripture. And I hope you allow me to stretch your minds a little bit. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew 13, we are given examples of the kingdom of heaven. And I've found our characters this morning in these examples. In Matthew 13, verse 24, in this parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. I thought of Elizabeth. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." And the servant said to him, "Do you want us to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Maybe you connect with Elizabeth this morning. Through no fault of your own, your life has kind of been weedy. Definitely not what you imagined. In fact, maybe it's the work of the enemy. And yet, it affects you and your life. But I want you to know that in the end, God is faithful. He is. Be encouraged that it's not about your life, it's about His life. And all of Elizabeth's life that was lived, we need to see the best parts. She was faithful. The next parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. I saw the shepherds. In verse 31, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and rest in its branches." And from the lowest and the least, the whole world was begin to be told about the greatest news ever from the shepherds. In verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, and I saw Mary. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened. And there was not a fiber of Mary that was untouched from the coming of Jesus. And she allowed him. She embraced him. And she was never, ever, ever the same. Jumping down to verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and I saw Joseph. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And I saw Joseph, that he left all that he had. Joseph was all in. There was nothing left on earth that Joseph kept for himself. He was all in for the cause of Christ. And the kingdom of heaven, in verse 45, is like a merchant seeking a beautiful pearl. And I saw the wise men. The The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, and who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the wise men were watching, and they were waiting, and they knew what to do. They were ready, and they recognized worth and value when they saw it, and they moved on it. And God honored them. In verse 47, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea. I saw Herod. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet when it's cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew ashore and they sat down and they gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. And so it will be at the end of the age when the angel comes forth and separates the wicked from the just and casts them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I say to you, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he shall reap. Do not be a pretender as Herod was. It does not end well for pretenders. So I was challenged again this morning, as I looked at the characters in Christ's birth story. The worship team may prepare and get ready to lead us, and I'll have a closing prayer here this morning. During worship time, the altar is open. If you need to do business with God this morning, it would be very appropriate on Christmas Eve to meet him here at the altar. Someone will come and pray with you if you need to. If you've connected with one of these characters in a special way, and if God is calling you, open your heart to him this morning. Thank you, God, again for your word, for the stories that ring true into our ears. God, it is amazing again for the way that your word becomes alive and it reaches us into our inmost being. It speaks to us. God, you call us from your word. God, we are so thankful again from the examples that you have preserved for us, and the stories of Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and the wise men and the shepherds, and even Herod has a place in the story of your son's birth. God, you are calling us to answer. Help us to answer. Help us to answer your call. God, again, we are so grateful for the time that we have here on earth. It is truly a gift. Help us to encourage one another as we depart from here. Help us to bless one another. And God, right now, pray that you would open our hearts, that we would be able to stand and worship you with full voices and with full hearts and open hands. And God, if there is some who need to do business with you this morning, pray that you would meet them again, either in their seats or here at the altar, wherever, God, that you would speak to them, that you would call them, that they would answer. And God, help us to be ready and watching, always watching and ready for you. In Jesus' name, amen.